Every month, we remix current events to imagine what a slightly altered world could look like. It's the news, only better. Welcome to Living Radio. But first, the news.
Trump campaign staff had altercation with official at Arlington National Cemetery. NPR, August 28, 2024, by Quill Lawrence and Tom Bowman.
Members of Donald Trump's campaign staff had a verbal and physical altercation Monday with an official at Arlington National Cemetery. A source said the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump staffers from filming and photographing a section where recent U.S. casualties were buried. The source said Arlington officials had made clear that only cemetery staff would be authorized to take photos and film in the area. When the officials tried to prevent Trump campaign staff from entering, campaign staff verbally abused and pushed the official aside.
Quote, federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities within Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographers, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or in direct support of a partisan political candidate's campaign, end quote.
In a statement to NPR, Stephen Chung, the Trump campaign spokesman, strongly rejected the notion of a physical altercation, saying, quote, the fact is that a private photographer was permitted on the premises, and for whatever reason, an unnamed individual clearly suffering from a mental health episode decided to physically block members of President Trump's team during a very solemn ceremony.
In a statement to NPR on Tuesday, Arlington National Cemetery said it can, quote, confirm there was an incident and a report was filed, end quote.
Late Tuesday night, former President Trump posted a photo on social media of the Gold Star families who had invited him. In the post, the families thanked the president and said they had invited the campaign to film. Filming there would still contravene with the federal law.
Wednesday, Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance dismissed the story, saying, quote, the altercation at Arlington Cemetery is the media creating a story where I really don't think that there is one. Apparently, someone at Arlington Cemetery, some staff member, had a little disagreement with somebody, and the media has turned this into a national news story, end quote.
Arlington officials updated the statement on Wednesday, writing, to protect the identity of the individual involved, no further information about the incident is being released at this time.
And now, here is Business as Norma, written by Duncan Flaster, directed by Aaron Soler. Performed live at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, September 2nd, 2024.
Your poor Juliet. The only pictures you're getting are the outside of her house. Go home. We're in mourning.
Pat, it's her, me.
Bobby, come here. Let him through, you monsters.
Franklin, go park the car. Keep an eye on Junior for me.
Bobby, what's the Attorney General doing here? Do you have any comment on Monroe's passing?
Was it suicide? Bobby, do you know anything? She sang at your brother's birthday.
Did Marilyn Monroe really kill herself? She had it all.
Hello, everyone. I've always been a friend to the press, but please, this is a possible crime scene. Ask not for any questions at this time. Please. Marilyn was a good friend of our family, and that's all there is to it. Now, me and Miss Newcomb are going to go inside, and I suggest you all go home. Pat Newcomb is her publicist and will be sending out a press release in due course.
Oh, Bobby, throw us a crumb!
Hey, listen. This isn't really the time. But here, take all the pictures of ye you need while I go inside. Here, I'm looking sad. Here, looking off into the distance, thoughtful.
This is macabre. This is a sacred space. Or should be.
Here, waving goodbye.
All right, if that's quite enough, you all can go home now.
Listen to the lady, fellas, if you know what's good for you. Press release to come when the police hat no more. Come on, Pat, let's go inside.
Well, Bobby, I'm so glad you're here.
It's been just awful.
I'm sure it has, Pat. But I can't stay long. I've got Junior in the limo, and I've got to get back to him. He found a dead bird earlier, and that'll keep him occupied for a bit. But time is short.
Oh. Just
come to gawk like the others, a quick in and out. I should have known. A woman is dead. Everyone's trying to turn this into an opportunity for publicity.
Now, sweetheart, I'd hope you'd think better of me than that. You of all people know how I felt about Marilyn, as did Jack.
Where is your brother?
Well, the President of the United States can't just run out to California whenever he wants, you know? Even when one of his, friends passes away. I luckily happen to be in town.
Luckily?
Give me a break, would you? I know this is a hard time. Your meal ticket just kicked it. But I loved her, you know?
Sorry. Permission to speak candidly?
Just between us?
I loved her too. It always seemed like everyone around her was using Marilyn. All her relationships were with famous men, which I suppose was natural. She was more famous than all of you. It's as though she was a magnet for people who wanted something from her. Not just sex. I mean her life. A beautiful spirit she had. She was always so tired. But you'd never know it. She wanted you to be happy. I wish you could have heard the real Marilyn.
I'd like to think I did. At least sometimes, when we were alone.
Yes, I was not privy to those particular goings-on, of course. Why are you here, Bobby? If not for a grotesque photo shoot, just to prove that you were on the scene.
I'm here to commune with her spirit. What that gal and I had was something special. Maybe my brother was living out some kind of power fantasy of the most powerful man in the world fucking the most beautiful woman in the world.
Bobby, language!
We're adults, Pat. Let's not beat around the bush. Jack and Marilyn's affair had that romance novel patina, but I really cared about her. You could call what Marilyn and I had love. You know,
I know you told her you'd leave your wife for her.
Pillow talk isn't admissible in a court of law.
I hope it won't go that far.
I hope not. And I might suggest you take a little vacation after you've wrapped up the loose ends here.
A vacation?
Somewhere quiet. Jack has authorized me to write you a very large check for such an endeavor.
Buying my silence.
I hear it's golden.
Ergo rather expensive.
You could count on the U.S. Treasury, be sure of that.
So you're here for a cover-up, not for love.
Potato, potato. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to be alone with her spirit for a bit. You said it was beautiful when I wasn't around. Maybe I'll get a hint of that.
I'll leave you alone for 5 minutes to mourn, and then we can talk turkey.
You've got it, Toots.
Well, hello, General.
Marilyn, is that you?
In spirit, I guess. I hope Pat won't mind me uniting with her body for a quick chat with an old flame.
Old flame?
I hoped you'd come to see me.
You didn't leave me much choice, did you?
It sure would be nice to believe that you came out of love, like you told Pat.
I did love you, darling. You know that.
But you're here for my diary, aren't you? And anything else you can get your hands on that would link me to you and Jack? You've got a clean house.
Of course, there are practical considerations. You threatened to expose us with your damn diary. Jack can't have a scandal. Could you even imagine a president of the United States being accused of infidelity? It would ruin him. Tongues will wag, of course, after your happy birthday stunt on TV. But to have concrete proof like that.
I suppose some things are better left a mystery. The press never gets anything right about me anyway. They project their imagination of what they think I should be onto the truth. You know how once you turn on a film projector, the whole movie theater around you fades away? For just a brief span of time, the whole world disappears and you lose yourself in the fantasy. The screen that holds it all up has disappeared for you, that invisible scaffolding that keeps it all flying.
I've always been the fantasy. No one's ever known the real Marilyn or Norma Jean. I never got to be happy growing up, so it was never something I counted on happening, and then I became the most happy, the happiest woman in the world. I was so happy, I was miserable. I worked so hard, I pulled everything I understood about being a woman out of myself and put it on the screen in hopes that someone would understand the human condition in some way, and all they want to talk about is my lips and my hair and my eyes. If I am a star, the people made me a star. I tried to be the world, but I was just a star.
The biggest star.
But what does that mean now?
Here, the diary's in that drawer over there. It has a false bottom. You know, some mafia guys came to me yesterday and wanted to buy that thing from me.
Is that right?
Simply a very young girl's record of her own thoughts and impressions, and consequently meant for publication.
Publication?
Oh, it's a line from Oscar Wilde. How I wish I could have played in The Importance of Being Earnest. I did adore the theater.
You sure would have been something.
But they wanted the book for blackmail against Jack. And you too, of course.
Of course. Me too. Always the general, never the prez.
Well, I told them no, of course. I could never do that to you both.
You threatened us with exposing it.
I only wanted your attention.
I could never hurt either of you Kennedy boys. Here now, please, destroy the book. Rip it! Tear it in half!
As you wish.
Wait! Would you read that last section out loud?
Something incriminating?
No. Just some Shakespeare.
Death, that hath sucked the honey of thy breath, hath had no power yet upon thy beauty. Thou art not conquered. Beauty's ensign yet is crimson in thy lips and in thy cheeks.
Thank you. Now rip it! Rip it!
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Bobby, that was rather sexy watching you tear them with your bare hands.
Kiss me again?
No offense, Marilyn. You're still possessing the body of Pat Newcomb, and that's a bit too far over the line. I am a married man, after all, and though you are glorious and magical enough to risk infidelity for, I just don't have the same feelings for Pat.
I understand. My own fault for dying.
Why'd you do it, Marilyn?
Do what?
Well, commit suicide. Why?
What? I didn't. I would never. I thought you knew. Those mafia fellows killed me when I wouldn't give them the extortion material against the Attorney General and the President of the United States. It was awful. Horrible.
But I don't want to complain.
They didn't find the diary, and I'm glad.
Me too.
It would have meant the end of your marriage. And of the presidency, I imagine. And Jack's marriage. Poor Jackie.
You're a hero. You died an American hero.
A funny sort of hero. An adulteress.
The kind they make movies about.
But no one will ever know the real reasons. You've ripped the book apart. It must never fall into the wrong hands.
I suppose a suicide story is what the papers will run with.
making me out to be another peg and whistle, another sad star, jumping from the Hollywood sign, metaphorically.
No one will ever know your real sacrifice.
The press has never understood me. I always said so.
Allow me to salute you as the savior of America as we know it.
Oh, no, that's too much. Maybe just a thumbs up if you insist. Thank you. Now I must go. Good luck with Pat.
How much does she know?
Enough. You'd better buy her off. She'll have trouble finding another gig after this.
I was planning on it. We'll do some business.
To what you came for, after all.
Also, for love.
As you say. Goodbye then, Bobby. Au revoir.
Pat, are you all right?
I feel a little woozy. What happened?
Nothing. You just swooned a little. Probably from all the excitement of the day. Here, let me get you a chair and we can talk about your settlement before I go. It's going to be a big one. If you can keep your mouth shut.
Mouth shut? I'm a publicist.
Not for Marilyn. Not anymore. A cover-up to protect Marilyn's memory. Not mine. Now name your price. I've got to get back to Junior.
This has been Business as Norma, written by Duncan Flaster, directed by Aaron Soler. Featuring Carrie Morris and Michael Propster. Performed live for Living Radio at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, September 2nd, 2024. Audio production by Robert A.K. Gagno with Artemis Zara Gutekin. Living Radio was formerly a project of Co-op Theater East. Follow us at Living Radio on Instagram and Facebook, and you can find all our past recordings at livingradionyc.com.